Hey. Ooh la la, wee wee.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship, coming to you live, not on the telephone line. However, we have retained the Anchor app. Yes, this is live, being taped from the basement. It's a pleasure to announce to Kevin Williamson and Jimmy Johnson that the bar is open. It's a pleasure to announce that Fetch is here. But beyond all of that, to the entire league, to everyone who's listening, and anyone that has an interest in fantasy football, you are now to be treated to the wit and wisdom of the comic genius himself, the return of Justin McCord. Fetch, could you get any more excited? Are you trembling just with
It's so exciting, not because he's a former state champ.
Yeah, Chase Taylor.
I really don't believe all that. I believe he's here more for his IT. We just call him IT around here. You know, at all offices, we like to make fun of the IT department. So right here, that's in
the KFC. You make fun of us, Fetch, but we read all your emails, and I see the shit in your browser history.
Yeah, browser history with Fetch. You know, do I love Trey Lance or not?
Thank you for that intro, Commission. If you were to rewind, though, 30 seconds, you will find that you said that this is live, taped from the basement.
And yeah, the live tape.
And then immediately you were like, and it's pleasure.
It's live. It's I don't see any problem with that. See,
we're in the pleasure basement.
Oh, you know what? You know, you have been locked down in your world so long that politically correct would be a thing for you. If that gets you
not
going.
Politically correct. There's nothing politically correct or incorrect. It's just, you know, I suppose I do get triggered when I'm in somebody's basement without permission or against my will.
Basement.
You kidnapped me. You told me that you needed help with something, and then all of a sudden Fetch was here.
I tell you, he's been away from it for a while, Fetch.
We're off the rails.
Like, it's an emergency. Come on. I got to change a tire. I need your help. Bring your laptop. And I was like, that's an odd request, but okay.
Something about serial killers. We're trying to get that into the podcast. Something about serial. Maybe we ought to talk fantasy football, Farrell. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. You guys may both collectively know a little more about serial killing and weird basement activities than you do fantasy football. But, you know, you can redeem yourself from your 2020 misdeeds with a return to the KFFSC. And I'd like to congratulate Justin McCord, the latest to jump on the computer and sign up for August 15th in the Queen City. Justin will be live there and drafting in Cincinnati. Fetch will be there too, although he'll come up with a number of reasons why he can't come. He'll register in late July and then be there. Guys, we're about 50 spots. We're about halfway through with being sold in Cincinnati. You know what we are almost completely sold with is another run through the Checkered Flag Championship. We have a draft Saturday night. One spot remains. We have a draft Monday, Memorial Day night. Both drafts at 9 o'clock. Three spots remain on Memorial Day. Guys, how much have you been drafting? I've been drafting a great deal. This time, you know, this time of year, I always talk to you guys about drafting. You're all way ahead of me in drafts, and I've got the numbers here. Fetch, I think you told me, you know, from my perusal of the signups in the KFFSC, two classics, three across Run to Daylight and Checkered Flag, and then two of the $39 Dollar Draft Masters. How has this early drafting helped you? How are you feeling about these teams, the values of players? We'll get back to talk to you a little bit about who you like, who you don't like, but just the overall feel of your early draft.
Oh, I've enjoyed it a great deal. Really like getting value early on those rookies before the NFL draft. Mm-hmm. Now that the NFL draft happens and the schedule has happened, we're really starting to lock down ADPs as we know what's going to happen here in 2021, where those players are. And especially that late bye week has thrown some people off with the week 14, 13. But we're really starting to see people hone in on where they want to take people and what rounds they're going.
You brought up a lot of issues there. And I went back to one of my early drafts, and you talk about rookies in value. Elijah Moore and the draft master in the 22nd round, Rondell Moore a couple rounds before him. You know, you won't get that now. We'll talk about some of the players that are moving up and moving down. Justin, skinny in the waist, pretty in the face. I'm here with two guys, folks. When you see these guys, in August, you're going to be amazed. Fetch looks like a college kid. Fetch is walking around. He's dropped 35 pounds. Justin McCord dropped 40 pounds. You guys are fit and ready for the year. Justin, how much drafting you been doing?
I mean, I've only done one Run to Daylight and two Draft Masters so far.
Okay. Run to Daylight. Are you happy with your team?
Yeah, it's decent.
What did the Draft Masters do for you?
Nothing. That was terrible.
Well, what do you mean it was terrible?
They were bad teams, and I'd rather not talk about
them. Did you do any research? Well, you're here to talk fantasy football. You can't talk about basement issues. So now look, what happened in the Draft Master to get you ready for the Run to Daylight?
Well, I mean, look, it's a different format, and I was the victim, perpetual victim of runs at certain positions like quarterback and tight end. And it's just, you know, it's.
Yeah, I love being on the end in most KFC drafts, but when you get them in the Draft Masters and a quarterback, tight end type run or defense run or kicker run, you can be really left out in the cold if you're, oh, it hadn't started yet. It hadn't started. You're in that 12 spot. You go to, oh, I'll wait one more round. And then 20 of them go.
Yeah, I always wait. I love to wait at that position. And then all of a sudden, people are taking their third before I've taken my first. I think Trevor Lawrence is my first quarterback on one of those teams. And then the next one, I was like, I'm going to go early this time. And I took Deshaun Watson. Uh-huh. And the next day, I swear to God, the next day, I get an ESPN notification. Like, Deshaun Watson did what? To who?
Uh-huh. Yeah. He's probably in someone's basement. Hey, you know, okay. Now, understand. Travel is off the board with me, with my mother's help. Concerts are starting back. I've been to one this year. Conferences, conventions, football activities, all things which usually draw me out of the house and take me somewhere off the board for me and continue to be off the board. And I could go on and on with the list, but you get my gist. Consequently, FFPC, and in their wisdom, Fetch and Justin have developed the slow draft, which we are bringing into the KFFSC, with not quite as much success as the FFPC has had. But the slow draft has enabled me to live with fantasy football through all this considerable lockdown, which in many, many ways continues with me. I have drafted through tonight a total of 31 teams. I am ready for 2021, including six football guys teams, which are a complete blast. I'm absolutely loving it. And there's just so much great changes in value, and I don't know where it's coming from. Fetch, I'm going to start with you first. Josh Jacobs, the Raiders signed another running back. They let Devontae Booker moves out in free agency. They make a very, very good football acquisition in Kenyon Drake. They now have Booker for Drake. All of a sudden, Josh Jacobs, who was the number three in attempts leader in the NFL last year, over 1,000 yards, 12 touchdowns. Do fantasy drafters just believe he's not going to touch the ball, Fetch?
I don't know what they believe. Josh Jacobs has had a great first couple of years. I would stay with him. I think value of him in the fourth round is unbelievable. I think he's going to put up numbers like a RB2, which means you could have taken him in the second round.
Fetch, the latest football guys draft I've been in there, number one position, Josh Jacobs comes to me at 412. Justin, I know you were involved a little bit in watching the NFL draft this year. What'd you like? What'd you see that you liked?
I mean, it was a stout draft class, especially at receiver.
Yeah.
And for the most part, I think all those guys landed in good spots.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think the one that everyone's talking about is Kadarius Toney. And I happen to believe that his spot is just fine. I think it's a wonderful spot for him. But there's not a clear path for him getting the balls. But if you evaluate Sterling Shepard and Darius Slayton as being players that will continue their production, I think Tony's in a good spot.
With this player you didn't mention there, and that was their acquisition of Kyle Rudolph at tight end.
Yeah.
And I think there's a possibility we're going to see a few more two tight end sets with him on the field opposite with Ingram, where they're going to use him as a blocking tight end. Yeah. And that's just one less spot on the field for a receiver.
Absolutely not. I think Ingram, if you watched him play football last year, you would realize that his heart is not in it. His soul is not in it. And his contract is not in it. We're going to find him basically on the sidelines for a great deal of the time this year. Rudolph's a great player to have on the field, blocking for Barkley and sometimes Kadarius Toney. I got a question for you. You as a big University of Louisville fan, and Fetch, you as well. And I want to give the University of Louisville players credit. They had another year of eligibility. They were smart. They came out of school and the draft rewarded them. Tutu Atwell goes to the Rams, the smallest by weight player, I believe, now in the NFL. And there's been plenty of conversation about that. There has been no conversation about fourth-round wide receiver Dez Fitzpatrick headed to Tennessee. And there's opportunities for both these players. Fetch, you talk about the first one. Justin knows them both well. Handle the second one.
Well, I wanted Justin to talk about the first one because I've already talked about Tutu Atwell on the podcast.
Yeah, Fetch, thank you for following along. We might have a new listener tonight. You know, people know Justin McCord's here, so people might be coming back to the podcast. Justin, you can go first.
Okay.
Fetch.
Well, I mean, look, it's a great offense, obviously. Any receiver would be happy to
Which
grab
one?
We're talking about the Rams and Tutu Atwell. Well, okay. Yeah. You know, we saw what Cooper Kupp did right out of college. I'm not saying Tutu Atwell is Cooper Kupp at all, but the opportunities are there. We're probably going to see him, of course, special teams, you know, if he's on the field to begin the year. And then we're just waiting for an injury, right? Okay. I don't see him outplaying any of the receiver positions through camp and seeing time that way. But he's a guy who I think if Matt Stafford can get him the ball in space or out of the slot, he's fast.
I think out of the slot, Tutu Atwell may die if he's hit by one of the linebackers. No. I think that he is there to tear the top off the defense. He is there to do the same things that, oddly enough, DeSean Jackson, who is on that roster again, Fetch. Am I right about that? DeSean Jackson back with the Rams.
I've not done any DeSean Jackson research for the last 3-4 years.
Well, man, I believe Tutu Atwell sees the field at the Z position. That's what I maintain. Uh-huh. I think that's where he's best used. Now, of course, I don't know as much as Sean McVay.
Yeah. No, well, neither does Sean McVay.
Me and Justin not agreeing because you know I love Tutu in this offense. Yeah. They have their possession receivers, and this guy's going to go deep. And they have not had the arm of Matthew Stafford. They now do. So Tutu's going to be great in this offense.
He can run underneath that stuff all day long. You know,
that's
what
he's got to do because he's not winning at the point of the catch.
No, he's not.
We've learned with Tyreek Hill, whatever. Yeah. These coaches move people around. We don't have to worry about that corner that gets up and just stuffs the guy at the line. Coaches are too good at moving guys with motion, the fly motion that the Rams use.
I agree.
They are going to get Tutu in space, and Matthew Stafford's going to be able to get him the ball.
Fetch, what was Tyreek Hill's first year in the league? What was his rookie season?
2016?
I was going to say 17. I was watching some film of him, and I noticed something this week. It's very, very striking. We were all talking about we want the next Tyreek Hill. But when Tyreek Hill entered the league, he's not the Tyreek Hill he was now. And man, he's gotten better as a ball player. And he is just he's always been good. He's always been in fantasy football very much at the top of everyone's list. But now by putting him as a first-round draft pick, you even get the best kind of Tyreek Hill that you can get. And I'm curious if all these other players will mature and work hard and get better in the league.
They will, but the one thing that you got to remember with him, just as we talk about Stafford and that arm and that accuracy, Alex Smith was a very good NFL quarterback.
Right.
And Tyreek Hill was good with Alex Smith.
Right.
Once he got matched to Patrick Mahomes and that arm talent, and that's what my hope is in LA. Jared Goff, good quarterback. I think the arm talent of Matthew Stafford is much better than Jared Goff. Now, do we want to talk about Dez?
I want to talk about Dez because I'm not getting excited about any receiver other than the number one Brown at Tennessee. And I'm certainly not excited about the quarterback. But there has to be some conversation about it. This is a fourth-round receiver going to a team that is not, particularly with what left out of there, not necessarily gifted with wide receiver talent. And you guys know Fitzpatrick. What are your expectations? How's he going to play?
I think he will play a ton, but I do not think he'll be a huge fantasy
production. 50-catch guy is what you're saying?
I'd say 35.
Well, that's playing a ton.
Well, yes, because what do you want to do at Tennessee? You want to hand the ball to Derrick Henry. Des Fitzpatrick's a big physical guy that you know what he's going to do.
Yeah,
he's going to block downfield, and that's going to get him on the field a lot.
Is he a blocker in college? Was he that tough mentality?
Yes. I mean, he was an all-around football player, and that's what I like about Des. And we'll get him on the field, but I don't think Tannehill will not look to him because he's got A.J. Brown, Frisker, and I think even Josh Reynolds may be more of the third down guy for them.
So an excellent football player that goes and helps Tennessee do what Tennessee already does well, to get the ball to Brown, get the ball to running back Henry. Now, Justin, 35 catches, Fetch says, for Fitz. There's been a lot made, and I've talked with Balky on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour at length about it, and there's just been a lot made about wide receiver Bateman, who heads from the Minnesota Golden Gophers to the Baltimore Ravens. I'm trying to tamper down expectations. This player is climbing the board, and I don't particularly see it. He's not climbing the board like some of these Tyreek Hill lookalikes are, like some of the specialty receivers and the two guys from Alabama, but he is an important player. What do you think about Bateman?
I think we're at least a year too soon.
Yeah.
I mean, let's look back at Marquise Brown last year. Mm-hmm. Right, was going in August in the fifth round. By September, he'd moved up to almost the fourth.
Really?
Yes, and it was disappointing. A lot of people had pegged a breakout season for him, and it wasn't. The looks weren't there. The opportunity was not there. Right. And now we're already hearing, you know, these OTA video clips and sound bites that Marquise Brown has taken to another level. He's being hyped again. And I think it's that offense and Lamar, the way they use Mark Andrews. I'm hoping that they use Dobbins a little more.
I think you're on to something.
I think
you're on to something.
Opportunity is not quite there yet.
395 attempts from Lamar Jackson last year. 88 of them went to 88 of them went to the tight end, and he was not on the field for every game. He battled COVID and some other issues. Fetch, you're lining up with agreement that Bateman is not a player that you can count on for fantasy to win you a fantasy league this year.
I definitely believe that. And we talk so much about opportunity, and this is just not a pass heavy offense, and they are going to use a lot of 2-3 tight end sets. They re-signed Gus Edwards, so they want to get him the ball with J.K. Dobbins. So they're going to have two guys that run the ball a ton.
I thought, help me with that. Let's talk a little bit about Dobbins and Edwards. I'm glad you brought that up. 450 rushes between those guys and Lamar? You think that's the right number?
I think more. Okay. I would put it at 500.
See, I'm trying to understand Edwards.
You got a 17-game season now.
So. I'm trying to understand Edwards as a 10th-round draft pick. And if that's the numbers that they're going to be running the ball, then Edwards is a nice bargain at the 10th round, right?
I think so, yes.
When you look at the 10th round in some of these drafts, you see Pollard coming off the board. You see the backup running back, the kid from Boise State, Madison. Yeah, in Minnesota, you see him coming off the board.
Daryl Henderson,
Tom Hines.
Guys that really need an injury to really get a thing.
Well, it's a handcuff round. The 10th and 11th is where people are drafting some handcuffs.
Unless you're drafting Edwards.
But Edwards is not a handcuff.
I don't view Drake as a handcuff either. As much as we continue to love Jacobs at this table, Drake is not a handcuff. 473 rushes in the Raider backfield last year. Booker onto the New York Giants. Now Kenyon Drake comes in. Drake and Jacobs, I see less of a role for the kid out of Southern Miss.
The other running back.
Jalen Richard. Everybody's waiver wire darling. He'll go on to four or five different teams during the season. Jalen Richard. You agree with me, Fetch? You like Drake? But now Drake, you're not going to get him in the 10th round. You're going to spend a 7th or 8th round pick.
I think a good example we can look at, we talked about this last podcast, is the Browns. Mm. I think Kenyon Drake can do similar things to Kareem Hunt, catching the ball, maybe on the field at the same time. You've got a Gruden guy that is very creative with his offense. And if he spent money on both these guys, he's going to try to find spots and carries for both of them. So I think 7th rounds is good value for Drake because he is going to have definitely a good role in this offense.
First round running backs who are polarizing, Justin McCord. There's a couple of them out there I want to start first with Ezekiel Elliott. Your thoughts?
Yeah, and he's going in the back half of the first round.
Yeah,
and that's probably appropriate. I'm not targeting him there.
Etch, what about you?
Same way. I don't think he has the boom year. We saw Pollard be able to make some explosive plays that it looked like Zeke couldn't make last year.
Yeah, Zeke was hurt. Remember that.
He's got a lot of wear and tear on him. Mm-hmm. They are going to scale back his load this year, and they just are, because Pollard has shown that he can carry it a little bit, and I don't want a first-round running back that's not a bell cow, and I don't consider Zeke a true bell cow anymore.
Interesting. You guys might look back on this night, and you might think different in August once we see some of the preseason. That's just my thoughts on it.
Well, the preseason, they may run the ball, but as we know,
when you see Zeke, you said something about that you saw Zeke. I think Zeke was hurt, and things hurt all last year. When you see the player this year and you see him in preseason, you might think differently. If you see the explosive Zeke return, are you going to trust your eyes or are you going to trust the commentary?
I would much still worry, much still. That's great grammar.
Go ahead.
But that defense in Dallas tends to get the Cowboys behind.
Yeah.
And they've spent a little money on the franchise tag on this guy named Dak, and they got him some weapons with a Cooper and a Gallup and a CD Lamb. They were very pass heavy because they were behind early in the year when Dak was healthy. So that also puts a little bit of a burden.
Let's keep it in Dallas, Justin. The receivers that I've been seeing, the drafts I've been seeing, CD Lamb is shooting up the boards. Amari Cooper, not dropping like a rock fetch, but dropping. And what I think both of them are still excellent choices based on where they are. You like both these players, Justin?
I like him, but I think the value is – I would rank the receivers by value as Gallup, Cooper, and then CeeDee Lamb.
What are you going to do with Gallup, Justin?
Well, if he's there in the ninth round, eighth round, that's a – I mean, with Dak, if Dak is back, Gallup is poised for an explosive year. And he was drafted last year by fantasy football players because of that. Like –
connect that for me. He caught 59 balls last year. He's a good little slot receiver. Sometimes he moves him around. Do you see more than 59 balls?
I think they're going to move Lamb around. I think, I see more than 59 balls.
Okay. Let's mark that
with
there.
Prescott in, with the pace of that offense is fetched that they threw the ball a ton. The defense is going to be improved this year, but not by a lot. They are going to throw a ton. And with Prescott and not Dalton as the quarterback, he is going to reap the benefit. And the benefit is exponential to drafters because he is the cheapest of the three.
Listening to you guys talk, I tell you, shooting up the board should be one Dak Prescott.
That is a definite value.
You know, that's
he's a top five quarterback. I mean,
it's seventh or eighth, then he's a top five quarterback.
I don't think Gallup's going to win you much, Justin, but I love your argument.
Stick with Adam Humphries, and I'll stick with Gallup.
I'm not going to defend Justin because I just hate to do it, but if Gallup is your X, I mean, your last guy in your lineup, and he's scoring some 20-point games, which he's capable of, I can see, especially in the playoffs, that winning you some money.
He is capable, but
can you check something? I just complimented Justin. Something's wrong. Did you put something in my drink?
It's the first, it's the first show back. But I think it's a fresh idea.
There's one more running back in the first round that I'd like to discuss. And I haven't seen him fall out of the top four. It's Alvin Kamara.
Okay.
And now part of me says that this team, this coach is hell bent on winning. Hates losing more than most coaches. Mm-hmm. And there's not a way to win without heavy use of Alvin Kamara, in my opinion. However, with the quarterback change, either it's Taysom Hill or James, I just don't see the quality of touches for Kamara maintaining what it was under Brees.
Kamara is one of the most interesting running backs when you compare a regular redraft compared to a draft masters. Mm-hmm. I think Alvin Kamara is, almost number two in a draft masters because we know
you saw that Christmas game.
Yes, that he can put up a 40 or 50 point game, but if Taysom Hill gets shut down, Jameis Winston can't do anything, he could very easily have a 5-point game as well. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why he's so much more valuable in the draft masters form. Whereas in our regular main event drafts, you you know, you don't know what you're going to get from him every week since this there's a question at quarterback at
the well, easier offense. Now for defenses to key in on Kamara. Right.
You two guys are collectively off your nuts.
I'm just saying I don't know. Part of me wants to believe.
You're off your nuts. I tell you, you don't know what you're going to get.
We're ganging up on you, Farrell.
You don't know what you're going to get from Kamara Fetchwell.
From this offense more than Kamara. From this offense.
This offense will be improved because this offense does not have a disabled Drew Brees.
No, if I'm in the fourth spot, I don't see who I pick other than Kamara.
Yeah, of course.
But I'm just telling you, I don't have the conviction that I feel I should. Now, maybe in August I will.
Fetch said something and he's getting his nuts nailed to the chair right now. So just give me a break because we're going to nail SNL and nuts. You don't know what you're going to get.
One
with Derrick
Henry, I might take it in 2000. Spot, I know what I'm going to get from him. A lot of carries.
In 2011, Fetch, he got 81 catches from Alvin Kamara. You know how many catches?
9 years ago.
In 2017, Fetch, you got 81 catches from Alvin Kamara. How many did you get from him in 2018? 81, Fetch. And then in 2019, Fetch, what did you get from him in
2019?
2019,
I'm going to say
81.
I feel like you know the answer to these questions.
Well, you know, I know the answer because I looked him up. What did you get from him last year? What did you get from him last year? You got 83. You've got a running back that's a tough. You talk about, the wear and tear, the beating up of the running back, the end of the season. You know, Chubb had a little bit of that. Wait a minute, I'm not finished yet. Wait till I get finished, then you can talk all you want. This running back has not carried the ball 200 times in the last four seasons. This running back is fresh legs as we get towards the end of the season.
Like he's not getting hit at the end of most of the
game. He doesn't matter. He has more yards after hit than any running back.
He didn't get hit as much either, but there's one variable there.
What is it?
When you're getting thrown to by the most accurate passer in the game who does not put you in bad situations. Do you think Jameis Winston ever puts the ball in a bad spot?
Here's the question. Can Alvin Kamara win at the point of catch?
Yes.
Between the concession man in the third row?
Yes.
Because that's what he's going to have to do.
No, you guys are completely off. You're here banging those Fetch nuts again.
In the pleasure basement, we bang nuts.
So, Fetch, you're not going to be able to move out of that chair until you agree one thing. The short passes to Alvin Kamara, he catches the ball and he makes his yardage in receiving yards after he catches the ball. He does the same thing when he rushes the ball. There is no risk to drafting Alvin Kamara in any pick.
It's much easier to do that when the ball placement is perfect, like it is when Drew Brees, compared to when it's low, especially if Taysom Hill's in the game.
You're not watching enough football, Fetch, because if you saw Drew Brees's accuracy and how everybody had to go out of the passing window to make those catches.
That was down the field. That was down. His arm strength was Drew Brees' problem.
Yeah, Drew Brees had short field accuracy issues as well. Listen, Jameis Winston get the ball to Kamara in a very good situation. We're not going to solve this tonight.
Remember when Jameis Winston got his eyes fixed and was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
It is. You know, he's a young guy. He's still maturing. And you know what? He's one of eight quarterbacks to throw for over 5,000 yards in an NFL season, and Alvin Kamara is going to get a lot of them. Let's take a break.
As are opposing cornerbacks.
Let's take a break and come back and talk a little more football and see what else you guys don't know. Kentucky Fantasy Football returns with its second half of our show tonight. As a public service announcement, Justin would like me to let everyone know that Fetch's nuts have been released.
Hashtag release the nuts.
Release the nuts, Fetch. As we pulled them out with the hammer, you know, there's a nice little, what do you call that wedge thing on the other?
The claw hammer?
The claw hammer, yeah. Fetch is free. And you know what else is free? You can listen to podcasts all the time. We've got there's so much out there that's near and dear to us in the podcast world. And one that's getting great reviews are Jason Kahn and Aaron Laser and Jeff Dorsey in Draft Ed Junkie is their podcast. And people really, really enjoy that. We've got a podcast has been following our drafts, and I mean, they are really, really following our drafts. It's Scott Connor and Jay Reed chasing the helmet.
Yeah, I like that.
We did some promotion last year, and these guys will be back, and they'll be in the room. The ship chasers, Coran and Overset. And then, of course,
not those chubby chasers that were there last year.
No, no chubby
chasers.
Wouldn't
leave me alone.
That was your crowd. They had some chubby chasers there. Man, they wouldn't even recognize you this year. You know, a man that's always recognizable. He's famous from coast to coast like butter and toast. The king of all high stakes fantasy football podcasts, Eric Baldwin. I cannot ruin his show as much because I'm working really, really hard to get better. You can listen to us 10 o'clock every Friday night. So there's a great deal of podcast available with people that we all know and love in the fantasy football world. And I tell you what, Fetch, if you got them all together, nobody's going to agree about the Detroit running back situation. We will start with you, because I don't have any firm opinions with it. Your nuts are safe in this segment, well, Fetch. Go.
I'm just glad my nuts are free.
Your nuts are free.
Second, when we talk about health.
Free nuts.
You know, Kevin Williamson, Jimmy Johnson. Mm. The bar is open.
Let's drink to them over Justin's computer.
Unfortunately, our health may be
nothing
going
I love
back.
Better than everyone clinking drinks over my keyboard.
That's all right. We'll get you another.
But our weight loss may go the other way if we continue to stay at the bar. But the Detroit running backs, I mean, Jamal Williams may be some of the best value we're hearing
out
there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I agree.
Anthony Lynn is now the running backs coach there, I believe. Mm-hmm. And you know Dan Campbell's going to want to run the ball, and he's using these words like type A back and type B back, mm-hmm. and how he wants Jamal Williams to run between the tackles, and DeAndre Swift is more outside and third down backish. And that's got to worry you with DeAndre Swift going almost at the end of first or early second in our real early drafts. And now he's slowly moving back. And then the news this week that Todd Gurley has taken a visit. It's kind of like last year when we had DeAndre Swift and they signed Adrian Peterson real late in the year, and that veteran guy they kind of kept giving the ball to. We hate the three-headed running back. Two-headed running backs used to be the problem, but the three-headed
running
back.
It's only a three now. It will be a four-headed running back later. I'm serious. Look, after the Super Bowl, DeAndre Swift became a volume darling. They're going to try to run the ball, but we know they're not going to be that good. But volume alone should put him over the top, and he'll catch some passes. And then they let Kerryon Johnson go. So that was the little bump up. But they, you know, before that, they had brought in Jamal Williams, paid him fairly well to pull him away from Green Bay. And now they're talking to Todd Gurley. If they sign Todd Gurley, you don't bring on a veteran of Todd Gurley's back to that contract as required by the union agreement and then just use him as a backup, right, in case somebody gets hurt. And when you talk about Anthony Lynn, Fetch, as the coordinator, when he was the head coach of the Chargers last year, if you were a running back and you had a jersey on that had the number, you know, they put the number on the front and the back, and then you had the pads and the helmet. If you had that on during the game, you got to carry the football. That was the rule. That was how it worked.
Crazy. Kalen Ballage.
Yes.
That guy's there.
If you are a running back for the Detroit Lions and you are active on game day, you will be on the field carrying the football at some point.
I believe in the process of the medical staff of these NFL teams. I think they're very good. They can return a player quicker to the field than ever before. Mm-hmm. But irrespective of any injury, the only one that is the biggest problem that cannot be cured by anyone and only time will heal, and it's very, very questionable how much time will heal it, is the concussion protocol in the NFL. And this Swift has been a concussion victim, it would appear to me. And that alone makes me think that I'm going to look somewhere else in that running game, makes me think that Detroit is looking somewhere else in that running game, and especially the situation with Jamal Williams, because this is a player that everybody across the league loves and roots for since he came out of college. He was the darling at the Senior Bowl. People would interview him, and they would be late for their next interview. He's just a guy that people really, really want to see succeed, and I think you guys have got it right. He's now in a place where he can succeed, and that will probably be, you know, it amazes me that we're talking about Ezekiel Elliott going in the same area where Swift was going earlier in the year. So it's just
And look, if you're a Swift truther, Yeah. If you, I mean, this is good news to you because now all of a sudden he's going to start sliding back to where he was. He was near the end of the third round, and now he's been moving up to the second, and he's going to start falling back eventually. And we'll see what happens. June 1st is around the corner. We're going to see some player moves, some trades, and then we're going to see camp open up. We're going to see bodies be brought in. We're going to see some injuries. It's all going to change. Yeah. But what's not going to change is you shouldn't draft DeAndre Swift in the second round.
Yeah, and I'm not so sure you should draft him in the third either. I just don't know what you should do with DeAndre Swift, but it's a high risk, questionable reward. I don't see where the big payoff comes with having DeAndre Swift on your team. Let's stay in. I want to talk a little bit about quarterbacks, and I think if we stay at Detroit, it's a great place to start. The quarterbacks are coming in and getting new starts, new leases on life all across the NFL. I don't think anyone should forget that Jared Goff was the number one pick in the draft. Not a first-round pick, but the number one pick in the draft.
Someone has to be each year.
The Los Angeles Rams. It's a very, very special player that usually comes in the NFL as the number one pick. Jared Goff, totally and almost completely ignored in 20-round classic drafts. Your thoughts?
Well, I think that's brilliant. Yep. Because the marriage between – offensive coordinator / head coach and quarterback is so important. Mm-hmm. We see the ones that really succeed. If I'm a quarterback, I'm not loving Dan Campbell, Anthony Lynn as the guys who are going to push my offense. I don't think we talked about Anthony Lynn and his love of running backs. Dan Campbell is looking for guys who's going to bite your kneecaps. Mm-hmm. I don't think Jared Goff's very good at that. Mm-hmm. So
you are the most in tune person I know with NFL knowledge. Can you name three receivers on the Lions?
Oh, easy. Terrell Williams, Amon St. Brown is the rookie. And, oh, my God, what happened? Quintez Cephas.
There
you
we
know,
go.
So it goes quickly.
And that's one more than most people can do, probably two more.
But you know what? It's interesting. I was talking to a player agent. He's a good player agent. He's been in the league a long time. He's like a lot of people that are agents in the league. He does a lot of different things. Not as many as I get the pleasure of doing, but you know, and you know what? He didn't know who T.J. Hockenson was. Yeah, you know, he's an agent in the league, doesn't know who T.J. Hockenson was. I said, look, we got guys that just are playing in their first fantasy football league that can tell you everything about T.J. Hockenson. Maybe you ought to come play a little fantasy football, you know, learn a little something. I think there are some – Fetch, I'm with you. I don't think Goff is – but I think he could be a plug-and-play quarterback going up against that Minnesota defense, whatever that Green Bay defense looks like, although our ex-U of L, Jair Alexander, is getting great, great commentary about his skill set as a corner. Let's move on then to a forgotten quarterback. Was it Jimmy Johnson that came up with this question the other night? Justin, we talked about it. Fetch and I did.
Okay. I was not party to that.
No, but you're going to be here. Okay. So, you know, don't worry. You're not going to be left out. But we want you to talk about Raider quarterback Derek Carr.
No.
Yeah, we do. We want you to talk about it.
Okay. Well, he is the Raider quarterback.
Okay.
I assume he resides in Las Vegas.
What is it? Okay. You're getting off rails.
Well, we heard from 2020 that John Gruden may sign another wide receiver.
Because you know, there's a supplemental draft possibly still coming up that goes crazy.
I feel like he's on a short leash still.
Uh-huh.
Do they still have Mariota, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, they're giving him a lot of leeway. I don't think it's all his fault. The offensive line's been pretty bad. But, yeah, he's another guy like Jared Goff that's not going to be drafted.
Let's give the FFPC a little bit of a pat on the back. They have a very early contest, a Draftmaster contest with $125 buy-in. Best ball, slim, no defenses, no kickers, 18 rounds. Three quarterbacks are going to every team still. Fetch, where would you put Carr in that mix?
What round or just?
Well, yeah, well, you know, he's 30. There's 32 quarterbacks. Where
probably,
would you put him?
He's probably about 20.
I think at the end of the season, guys, we're going to find that Carr was a top 12 quarterback.
What? Ooh. No.
Can I hammer?
Yeah, this? Look.
At the end of the season,
where's those rusty nails for that?
Top 12 quarterback. Carr, end of the season.
No,
it could happen.
Does he get traded?
No, he's going to be with the Raiders.
I mean. Are the Raiders winning the Super Bowl? Because you're talking all this volume for Josh Jacobs great he's going to be. If he's a top 12 quarterback,
that makes.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me.
Correct. Ryan Fitzpatrick is number six.
He's not top 12 in fantasy points. He's top 12 in quarterback.
How do you quantify that?
You do that by the yardage, quarterback rating. Quarterback rating. Yeah, it is a fantasy show, so I probably should stay on that. So, okay, I'll go back with Fetch and I'll say 20. But, as far as fantasy points.
If Fetch gets out the hammer and nails, you change your tune real quick, don't you?
I change my tune real quick. But, I think you guys are missing out. Okay, 20. So he needs to be drafted in these contests, Fetch. I'm in a couple of these contests. I need
him.
Let me try to find a quarterback that you guys might be able to.
Is Bobby Sangerman drafting Derek Carr? Is he going? He's going after the young guys, right?
Bobby wants to go after any quarterback who is a dual threat. He wants a dual threat.
But looking at a draft masters and you're saying, yes, Derek Carr, he will outscore my other quarterbacks.
You got to have three, apparently, to win.
The great part, though, we used to talk last year about Phillip Rivers and how he never had a 30-point game.
Never.
Because he had a great running back behind him. And Derek Carr's kind of that guy. I mean, he's got Darren Waller, but the other guys out there aren't dynamic. I would rather have a guy like Ryan Tannehill. They get behind and have to give up on the running game maybe once or twice a year. Tannehill can have a 30-point game, hit three touchdowns to A.J. Brown.
Yeah,
so I would rather have Tannehill.
Yeah, there's not a dominant receiver on that team that is going to bust out an 80-yard touchdown.
Henry Ruggs, damn it. Okay, let me take you down to Miami and talk about their quarterback situation down there. Some interesting things in the media about Tua this week. I didn't quite understand the playbook last year. I didn't quite know what's going on. I think you'll know what's going on this year. Your thoughts on Tua Fetch? He's one of those dual threat, beat you with his feet, beat you with his arm quarterback. What do you think?
I don't think he's as dual threat as we thought coming out of college. Mm. He is not. We got Kyler Murray, quick and shifty. Jalen Hurts really can do things with his legs. Obviously, Lamar. I don't think Tua's in that athletic ability. Mm-hmm. Now, he is a cerebral and really smart guy, and that really concerns me a little bit that he was having problems with the playbook. But now he's had time. I think he'll have a good year. But again, fantasy wise, I don't see those huge numbers. So definitely, if we're talking draft masters, he's not one of my guys.
Justin asked, is Marcus Mariota the backup quarterback with the Raiders right now? And I got to tell you, somebody asked me who the backup quarterback for the Dolphins was, I'd be hard pressed. I'd be Googling my ass off. Fetch, you know who the backup quarterback is over there? That's what I'm saying.
So Fitz, I don't know.
Yeah, we do know that Fitz is gone. And
I don't know that the Dolphins know yet either.
Yeah, it might be.
But they gave Tua some new weapons.
Yes, and let's talk about one of them, Jaylen Waddle. Do you think that was who they wanted? You think that was the guy? They said, do you think Jaylen Waddle's what they wanted when the draft started?
I'm not sure, but I think when they're on the clock and they see that, okay, Tua's automatically going to have the connection with this guy. This makes sense. Mm-hmm. This makes our quarterback who just said he doesn't know what's going on feel comfortable on the field. Mm-hmm. This is great. And then, of course, they bring in – is it
Will Fuller?
Yeah, they brought in Fuller, which is going to probably, Preston Williams is the thing of the past at this point now. We're going to see less of Devontae Parker.
You think so?
Just by – it's a zero-sum game. There's only so many balls to be thrown. Mm-hmm. But and less for Gesicki, too, who had a little bit of a moment in the sun last season.
I don't remember it. He was on my roster.
Well, he caught some touchdowns.
Yeah, he caught some touchdowns. He was also – he was sub 60 catches. As you always say, Justin, especially in the FFPC, the way to win is through reception.
So while I am not targeting any of these receivers because there's just not enough there, I think one of them can pop for a big game every now and then. And I'm not targeting Tua, but he could be a bye-week filler. He's certainly going to have a better year than he had last year, and the future's looking bright for him.
Let's try to find somebody that we can get a little excited about.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
There we go. Fitzy. Fitzy moves to Washington with a ton of weapons, players that I really, really like in the running back position, in the tight end position, in the wide receiver position. It seems like they consistently get better. Justin, you brought it up. What do you want to say first about Fitzy?
Well, first of all, he's a gunslinger.
Yeah.
All right.
It's accurate.
Yes. he's going to unleash Terry McLaurin even mm-hmm. more than he was. McLaurin now going, what, third round?
Yes.
Value. Mm-hmm. Huge value. Then they pay Curtis Samuel $11 million.
Mm-hmm. To reunite with his coach.
He was not used great in Carolina, but now I think he will be. I think it could hurt the tight end. Is it Logan Thomas?
Logan Thomas, yes.
I think he was kind of on the upswing. I Fitzpatrick does not need to lean on a tight end. I think they are going for McLaurin. I think they're going for Curtis Samuel. I think Gibson's going to get it. I don't see as much at the tight end position now, but I am very excited for McLaurin and for Curtis Samuel.
I'm excited for McLaurin. He's done it with whatever quarterback they put. I mean, if you have a heartbeat and play the quarterback position, Terry McLaurin puts up numbers. I am excited for Logan Thomas.
Yeah,
nobody likes to fit a ball in more than Fitzy. And he loves a physical guy that he thinks can win that contested ball. I mean, because Fitzy's not going to sit back there for and move around. He's not mobile. He's going to take his three stops. Oh, that's my guy. Boom. And I think Logan Thomas is a guy that can win right at that point of at the point of reception, right when he's got to break the route off.
Logan Thomas coming into the position as a college quarterback still has not matured in the position. I think his best football is in front of him. So, yeah, you're hitting it right on the nail head, Justin. The check down artist, J.D. McKissic, last year is still going to be a good part of the offense, but he is a lot of those catches are going to go elsewhere. And Curtis Samuel, we saw glimpses of what he could do when McCaffrey was injured. But you're right. Carolina never utilized him in the right way. The reuniting and reunion with Coach Rivera, it's very, very interesting to see what the Washington Football Club will be.
Can we talk about your favorite skin?
Which one?
J.D. McKissic.
Now, we just did. We just talked about it. Where were you? Fitzpatrick's
not going to check
Less out. No, we just said that, Fetch. Okay. Fetch,
look, you released his nuts. This is on you.
We just said that. He's had one drink.
I thought we were talking about
one drink, for God's sakes. You want us to refresh that drink a little bit, Fetch?
Please, I'm over here checking out the draft board on my latest draft. I missed something.
You missed a little.
We're talking about boards, draft boards. I'm trying to get ready. Get
all
more
right.
Information.
There's players that are still going to be fantasy relevant. They are playing for the Houston Texans, and there is where risk reward might meet the opportunity. Fetch, get us started at any Texan position you want to talk about, from quarterback, wide receiver, running back. Just give us one, and then Justin can do his thing. Is there, these players are being drafted late. What do you see? We're sitting here in May, Memorial Day weekend. What do you see?
I'm drafting two players from the Texans, Brandon Cooks
and
Deshaun Watson. And I'm only drafting Deshaun Watson because I can get him in the 18th or 19th round, and I'll cut him if anything. Why not take a chance on him that late? And that's really all I'm thinking about.
Follow-up question to Fetch. There is a running back position there, and there's two running backs, and one comes in from Denver. What do you think? What are these running backs just not going to have enough opportunity to contribute as fantasy players?
Philip Lindsay.
He's always been a favorite of yours.
And I loved him more in Denver where they ran the ball more. I mean, we do not – know who's going to play quarterback in Houston. We really don't. And with that being said, in blowout losses, they're not going to run the ball. So I really don't know what kind of production I'm going to get out of these guys. That's the reason I'm staying away from David Johnson. There's great value for a person of David Johnson's talent and how many balls he's going to get. But this offense could be
so
terrible.
You're going to take a quarterback in the 18th round, drop him if he doesn't play. You're going to look smart if he does play. There's been talk in the media today that the league office, it just might not – they might not deal with this until next year. You're not willing to take one of those running backs at 12. Is that where they're going, 11, 12?
David Johnson, more 10th, I would say 9.
Okay.
Philip Lindsay at 12.
Okay, so you really wouldn't you wouldn't give them that same sort of, So let me say, Deshaun Watson comes back. Okay, Deshaun Watson's playing. Where would you draft Johnson and Lindsay then?
About where they're going now.
Oh, and that's shit, Fetch. Justin, how about you?
Well, first of all, would Deshaun Watson, in your opinion, come? Because before this whole scandal happened,
he said
he was not going to play at all for the Texans. Uh-huh. So now he's humbled and he's going to go and he's going to suit up and play.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And that's the reason I still can take Johnson, because I mean, not Johnson, excuse me, Watson, is because he could be at a different team.
He could be.
So I don't know. I mean, I have no idea who's going to be the quarterback. Even if Deshaun Watson, everything's okay, and they trade him, are they going to start the rookie from Stanford?
So you guys, you guys are going to look the other way because you think, and you're probably right, you think you can put together a value 20-man roster without any other
Houston player. I had David Johnson a ton last year.
Yeah, I remember.
And late in the year, he was okay, but it was a max 12, 14-point games with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. In a recent KFFSC checkered flag draft.
Yes, sir.
David Johnson went in between guys like Kenyon Drake, Jamal Williams, Ronald Jones, Tony Pollard.
He went too high.
I mean, that's Latavius Murray.
You're right.
Unless I've gone wide receiver heavy, I took a tight end and a quarterback, and now I'm behind the eight ball on running back, and I'm looking at a guy that I need to be number one on the depth chart, and David Johnson might be that guy. I can build a narrative where I would make that choice. But for the most part, it's not because I'm going into the draft planning on taking David Johnson. Something has happened.
I think he's got to fall further. It's like Fetch says, Lindsey in the 12th. I might be willing to do that. But Fetch, considering you don't know who's playing quarterback, why are you drafting Cooks?
Again, I'm going to get him. Where'd he go there, Justin? Can you give me a little? I'm assuming 13th, 14th round.
A little earlier.
And I'm, he's my fourth or fifth wide receiver.
Yeah, you better have five receivers by the time you get down there.
He has talent. He has a deep threat. Every bad quarterback can throw that one deep when somebody's open. So maybe he's got a couple big deep shots in him in a week. I need
him. Let's go to Cincinnati.
He went in the 8th.
Yeah, there you go.
Whoa. Okay, then somebody, I'm not drafting him.
Somebody's reading last year's stats.
I mean, I can't even see taking Jordan Akins in like the 20th. That's the only guy I could think. And like a blowout might catch enough balls.
There's a new tight end in town down there.
I don't like new tight ends.
Yeah, there's a new tight end.
Like I like rookie. The tight ends I'm accustomed to.
Akins and Rudolph are leading the 19th and 20th round for Justin McCourt. Okay, guys, let's do a little business before we close it out. We have new players coming to the league this year, and we look forward to welcoming them. We have drafting starting on Friday, Friday at 1 o'clock. Those drafts will fill and get us started on our weekend at KFFSC, August 27th through 29th at Caesars. Now, here we are in May. Both of our auctions, which is very important for you guys, the greatest auction facilitators that ever walked into a room. Both of our auctions are already sold out. And if that's a wonderful testament to the guys having fun and a lot of the reasons.
Justin and I do drink during these as we facilitate. If you want to buy us a drink,
They'll buy you whatever you want. On top of that, we have moved now to 5 big payback divisions, which is a real testament to the kind of players that are coming in and the type of play that they want to have. We will have a Midnight Madness division again. Either of you guys sign up for that?
Of course I'm in it.
Fetch is in it, the FPI Invitational. And speaking of that, our beloved champion, Petri and Larson. Petri has had a tough summer. With some health issues, but he is on the rebound and doing very, very well. I think that one of the things that I would like to remind everybody this year is we heard this commentary about returning to normal, and I never really focused too much on that.
You don't have to worry about that.
But this is a really great feeling, to getting back to what we expect and what we look forward to. We got players that are coming in here for the first time that have played online. We got a lot of guys coming from around the country. It's going to be a very, very exciting time. So no matter how you put your schedule together, no matter how much you play, try to stay in the room, try to be around. We're going to have these line of podcasts. We're going to have a lot of interesting people to meet. Fetch, before we go, I'm going to give it to you. You've been a great contributor to all these podcasts throughout the season. You've been able to jump on late. You've been able to jump on in the afternoon. I can't believe we can get a podcast in the afternoon. I want to thank you for all that contribution. It feels a little different now when we start shifting the gears and heading towards June and fantasy football, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, we have these late night podcasts, which are so much fun. But I say the best news I've heard in a long time is the NFL has announced that 30 of the 32 teams have plans to have full capacity, which, I mean, isn't not great to think about those stadiums full. And I believe they know the other two are going to get their plans in time. So that we're going to have fans back in the stadium. That's why we love fantasy football. We're fanatics. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that whole concept, football normalcy, it's exciting in 2021. And I look forward to getting together every week and hopefully not getting my nuts.
Yeah, well,
every week.
That'll teach you to have an opinion.
Maybe Justin will take a turn now.
Justin McCord, it is a pleasure to have you once again under this roof and to see you face to face. You know, you have something in your resume and repertoire that none of us will have. You are a champion of a high stakes contest. Okay. 2011, the champion of the KFFSC.
You are 10-year anniversary.
You are going to get up to speed and make another run for it this year. Your three registered teams in Cincinnati are a testament to that. Online drafting going on now, and the checkered flag is a great way to get ready, great way to compete. Jimmy Johnson and Eric Balkman are defending champions in those leagues, and if you want to knock those guys off their perch, come on in and play. We've got five more. I don't know. There's enough there under classics on the website to find you a place to play. Fetch, final words about any player, any situation. We've got about 2 minutes.
Just very interested to find out what's going to finally happen with this Julio Jones situation.
It's one of your favorites, Fetch. Yes. It's one of your favorites. Did you give us a destination? What do you think?
Outside, I think Denver.
Uh-huh.
I think that he's going to end up Denver. Something's going to happen with the quarterback and swap. They're going to have to get rid of receiver, and I think he's going
to
land in Denver.
Our old pal George Payton has money to spend. He's down and spend it on someone, and that is the problem down in Atlanta. And somebody told me the other day that the Falcons don't want Julio Jones anymore. That's not the case. Falcons can't pay Julio Jones or anyone else anymore. Justin McCord, final thoughts.
Julio Jones is going to the Patriots.
Ah, there we go.
I don't want him to go to the Patriots.
I understand. Look, that for fantasy drafters, that is a best case scenario because it doesn't hurt anybody's volume. It helps Julio. It's a win win for everybody.
Even Nelson Aguilar benefits from Julio Jones.
Who?
Nelson Aguilar. Do you know who that player is?
I don't know who that is.
Ah, well, is it hit the books?
Ladies. Oh, he's one of those former Raiders.
Yeah, a former Raider.
No, I know. I remember Nelson dropping balls for Philadelphia.
A former Raider. You know, no one can talk to us as much about Nelson Aguilar. He'll be coming to pick up his 2019 championship trophy as Chad Schroeder. Chad would have two championship trophies.
Yep.
If Nelson Aguilar and Alshon Jeffrey could have figured out a way to catch a ball in a game.
Alshon who?
Alshon Jeffrey.
Not Jeffries?
No, that's someone else. Guys, thank you so much, and we'll look forward to getting together just as soon as we can. Release Fetch and from any encumbrance that he is experiencing right now. All right. Justin.
Signing off from the pleasure basement.
Good night.